to Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. You know, Jesus Christ, when he was here on the earth, when he came, he was a very controversial person. People were trying to figure out who he was, and he was saying amazing things. Even John the Baptist said, "Are you the promised one, or should we wait for someone else?" There was a lot of confusion, and even like today, there were people who despised him, who were against him, who stood vigorously against him and what he stood for. There were people who were indifferent, who were far away. They heard the stories, but they wouldn't come any closer. And there were people who were touched by his life, touched by his love, and followed him. We're following him. Actually, in Matthew 4:19, he went to some fishermen, today's equivalent of longshoremen, and said, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And they did. They left what they were doing, and they followed him. They left their old profession, dropped their nets, and followed him. And what I want to look at just for a few minutes today is, what was it like for those people who were following him? So why don't we pray, and we'll look at that together. Lord, thank you for these events. Thank you for coming and being here, for showing us who you are, that you care about us. I pray that you bless our hearts today. Bless us in understanding. Give us wisdom. Give us clarity in things that are sometimes confusing, sometimes obscure for us. Help me to empower me to speak well of you today. Amen. You know, I was thinking about, we've all have people we know who have passed away, who we've lost, who we are close to. Now, if anyone you could be close to, if anyone is compassionate, if anyone had grace and stood for something, it was Jesus Christ. If you could have drawn close to someone, surely it would have been Jesus Christ when he was living here. Surely these people who were with him, if they were attached to anyone, surely it was him. And then he entered Jerusalem, and in 1 week, things drastically changed. These men and women who were with him, they were seeing things they had never seen. They were doing things they had never done. They saw thousands of people who were hungry and then were fed. They saw people who had great difficulty, great infirmities, and they could walk again. They could see. They were doing things they had never done before. They were seeing people's lives changed instantly. And that's what they were doing. They were on this path with him. A new purpose, they stopped whatever they were doing and they were doing whatever he said. And it was new, it was different. And then suddenly, he went into Jerusalem, he was arrested, and it was over. The one they were attached to, the one they had put their hope in, he was gone suddenly. That was Friday, 2,000 years ago. That was Friday, that was 3 days ago. And now it's Easter morning. If you're one of his followers, if you're one of those people, it's Easter morning. And I want to look at, let me turn this on here. And I want to look at one of the Gospels in Mark. It's Easter morning. And some of the women who were part of their group when the Sabbath had passed. This is Mark 16:1. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought some spices so they might go anoint him. They had lost someone very dear to them. They had given their lives. They were on this path with him, And their best hope now is to honor his life and anoint his body. There was something they would do before they would bury someone, and they believed that that wasn't done properly by whoever put him in the tomb, by the Roman authorities. And they were going to fix that. They were going to take care of that and honor his life. That's their best hope now, is to do that and move on with life. That's what they're doing. The next verses in 2 and 3. So this is their plan. Very early the next first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tombs. I don't know if you've planned a funeral or planned services. You have to talk about some of the logistics. Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? We have companies who do that for us now. I've had to plan a few of those. They were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? We're on our way. They're on their way to the tomb. Who will roll away the stone? They go to the tomb. They get to the tomb. The stone is rolled away. This is a different gospel. This is the gospel of John, but it's very similar to Luke, where we just were. Who will roll the stone away? And there are two men there. Actually, the scripture says there are two men there in brilliant clothing, brilliant white, dazzling white clothing. So white that you kind of know that it's not a white of this earth. As a matter of fact, one of the Gospels said they saw the men and they fell to their knees, because they're not men. They're angels. And they speak to the women. Why are you weeping? This is the interesting thing about angels. You know, as people, we don't see the spiritual world. It is very obscure to us. We see the symptoms that there's a spiritual world, but we don't see that world. The angels see that world clearly, with perfect clarity. They know what's happened. They know what the Lord wants. Why are you weeping? Why are you crying? Like it's no big deal. Why are you crying? And she tells him, they've taken away my Lord. They've taken him away. They've taken his body. We came here to honor the one we were following, and they've taken his body. And I do not know where they have put him. This is still their best hope, is to embalm him, anoint him, and leave him there. This is the next verse. We're back in Luke. These men, these angels, say to him, to them, these ladies, who are there to honor the Lord, in the best way they know how, why do you seek the living among the dead? Why did you come here? Why did you think he would be here? Why do you seek the living among the dead? This is a little rock tomb. And the next verse that the angels see with perfect clarity, that the people don't know yet, the people don't understand, he is not here. This is the first sign in all the Gospels that this has happened. He is not here. He is risen. He is not here. He is risen. You're looking in the wrong place. He's not in a tomb. He is not here. And then the angels did something rather interesting. Rather interesting. I want to look. This is very significant. Angels always do what the Lord tells them they are in to do. This is the next verse. Oops. Oh, I'm sorry, I don't have this up on the screen. This is in Luke 24, 6. This is 5. This is what they do next. And I think this is significant. The angels point to what Christ said. They said, remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee? This is verse 6 and 7. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. Seems fairly simple. The angels didn't doubt these words. The disciples and these women and who were following Christ, who knew him because of how traumatic all this was, they forgot all of it. They forgot all of it. In witnessing these events, which we wouldn't dare to show if we could depict it on Sunday morning because it was awful to witness. They were all devastated and they forgot everything he said. And the angels point back, remember what he said. He said this would happen. He said he would not be here. He said 3 days later he would rise again. And he is not here. That is Easter. That is Easter Sunday. Why did you doubt that? Why are you here? Why are you at the tomb? He's not here. The angels see this with perfect clarity. But we as people, we struggle to connect with that, the reality of that. We struggle to see that. It's a world we don't see. This is the reason the scripture is so important. This is the reason what Jesus Christ says is so important, is because we strain to see those things. So right after he was empty, the tomb was empty, that's what the angels say. Go look at what he said. Remember he said that? So I was thinking about this, the cross. What does the cross signify? That was Friday. That was Friday. And I think, well, what is the cross? The cross means many things. It means many things. You know, I was watching this war movie the other day. And I like World War II and things. I'm kind of enamored with that a little bit. And in our military service, we give medals for people when they make great sacrifices for others. When they give themselves and they risk their lives to save other people, we know it is an act of valor. And we have medals and awards. Sometimes those things are recognized. Sometimes they're not. But when we recognize it, sometimes we have to recognize those events after those men and women have given their lives as acts of valor. And this scene that was acted out, I was just watching it. And I watched it several times because it just caught my heart. What was happening was there was a group of 5 men. And the enemy, there was about 200 to 300 men. They had scouted ahead and they were coming over the hill. There was 5 men left and there were 300 men coming at them. There was 5 of them. And the scout comes back. He says, we have to get out of here. We have to. It's just 5 of us. And there's 300 coming. And the one guy says, the leader, I forget his title, he says, I'll stay. You go head for the tree line. I'll stay. You 4 go. It's okay. And all 4 of the other men stopped and looked. He says, what do you mean? Let's all go. He says, no, I'll stay. It's okay. I'll take care of it. I'll be a diversion. I'll stay. You go. You guys head that way. I'll stay here to give you a chance. This is the cross. If we know that when we see it in the world, this is the cross. I will stay. I will stay here. He was abandoned by everyone. I will stay here. There are people who think of God as an impersonal, far away, distant, uninvolved God. After the cross, I don't know how you can say that. When he came here for us, I care. To me, the cross says, I care about you. You are so important to me. That's what God is saying. You are so important to me that I came here and I will take care of it. I will stand. I will hang here. That is the cross. I will be here for you. You are so important to me that I will be here for you. And I will stay here. And I will give my life for you because you are so significant to me. That was Friday. That was Friday. I care about you. You are important to me. That I will give up everything I am to give you a chance. So if that's the cross, what is the resurrection? He died, he gave his life. What does the resurrection signify? And it signifies many things. But surely it says everything he said was true. Everything he said was true. Why do I say that? That's what the angels did. Remember what he said? They pointed back. Remember what he said? Everything he said was true. He proved it. He said he would come back. He did. He proved he was and is who he said. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Death couldn't hold him because he is life. Everything that is alive because of him. Alive because of him. You know, when Jesus was here on the earth, before this happened, before he gave up his life, he raised people from the dead. One of them was Lazarus. One of them was Lazarus. And he waited until Lazarus had passed away. It's very interesting. And this Lazarus's sister, he got there 3 days after Lazarus had passed away, and Lazarus's sister was very upset, like we would all would be if we lost a brother or someone very close to us. And she went to him and she said, if you'd have been here, she knew this, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. She knew that if you were here, I would still have my brother. If you'd have been here, this wouldn't happen. This is what Jesus said. He said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, this is the King James, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He that believes in me. He's saying there is no death. Death is a passing through. You move from one life to the next. Actually, you just give up your fleshly body. He that believes in me will never die. These are amazing statements, amazing clarity about how the spiritual world works. If you believe in Christ, if you trust in Christ, look at what he says next. 26. Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Look at what he says next. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? It's personal. Do you believe this? This is what Jesus Christ is offering. Everyone who trusts in Jesus Christ has life. Sometimes it's obscure. We're so distraught by traumatic things. And Jesus is going, I am life. I am the solution. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? If you believe that, it puts things in perspective. He is the answer. And so much today, we look for life in other places. Our culture tells us you will find life in other places. No. Everyone is looking for life from him. I want to jump back to Luke 24:6, because this is the evidence that he is who he says he was. It's very simple. He is not here, but is risen. If the Pharisees had the Romans guard the tomb, Roman guards there. But you cannot thwart who God is. And he is risen from the dead. They can't find his grave. It doesn't exist because he is not there. He is not there. You know, when I moved to Chicago, I graduated from Purdue University with a civil engineering degree in 1990. And one of the guys I moved up here with, a roommate of mine, he said, I want to go parachuting. And I said, okay. And I happened to work with a guy who was into parachuting. And I thought, okay, I where do you guys do that? He says, I've got this great parachuting club. They have awesome equipment, and they don't do drugs. I said, that's good. That's a good combination. Parachuters who don't do drugs, this would be a good place to go. So my roommate's name was Elliot. I really didn't care if we went parachuting or not. I figured I'd try it, but I wasn't that interested in it, you know. But it's okay, we'll go. This is what's called static line parachuting, where you... you're not attached to anyone. The parachute is in your back, or on the backpack, whatever, and it has a line that hooks to the airplane. And when you fall away from the airplane, it automatically pulls the parachute out. So you jump solo. And they give you 7 hours of training. They teach you how to fall off. The lines get tangled, and you sign a form. You sign lots of forms saying, "We know this is dangerous, and we don't do drugs, so you're okay." And you sign lots of forms and say, "I know this is dangerous. I know I could die, but da, 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 if you can't sue us and all that stuff." Lots of forms. So, and I was looking at those forms, going, "I wonder if I really want to do this." We go through 7 hours of class: how to jump, how to fall, and I'm behind. You get in the airplane, little airplane. There's four or five of us in the airplane. And I'm scrunched behind the pilot. I got the parachute on my back. I'm scrunched, curled up behind the pilot, sitting on the floor. And the plane is climbing to 3,000 feet, circling. We're going up, and it hit me. I'm going, I really am trusting this equipment with my life, aren't I? I'm going, well, I could tell them I don't want to do this. I'm sure they'll let me ride back down, but if this works, it'll be okay. But I am trusting this equipment with my life. So the way it goes on this particular airplane is you step on the step and you grab the wing strut. This is a high wing airplane. And you hang on to the wing strut. And you let step off the step and you're dangling in the air because the airplane's doing 80 miles an hour. And you look at the instructor and he says, "Let go." And I thought, yeah, right? I actually thought this. I'm hanging there by my two hands outside the airplane going, this is a perfectly good airplane. Let go. Boy, I hope this works. Most of the time in our country, parachuting works. The equipment's pretty good. People don't do drugs too often. The plans of man, the schemes of man, will fail us sooner or later. What God says, what Christ says, what you have faith in to entrust your life to, Jesus Christ, what he says, will never fail you. There are failures sometimes. In parachuting, it's a sad thing, but it happens once in a while. Something malfunctions, something doesn't work. Trust in Christ always works. He proved it on Easter Sunday that he is who he says he is. That he can always be trusted. This is why the angels said, look at what he said. The angels of God said, look at what he said. He said this would happen. Part of how we live with the Christian life is to look at what he said and say, I have faith in this. This is my parachute. I trust my life to him that what he says will pass. The angels didn't doubt that. Why are you weeping? Why are you here? Why did you come here? He's not here. Why are you crying? Because you're not trusting what he said. Let's look at what he said. Because you can trust what he said. You can always trust what he said. It will change your life the more you trust what he says. For ourselves, that's what he asked. Do you believe this? It's very important. Do you believe this for you? Do you believe this for you? That's what will change your life. Not that you know it in your head, but that you believe this for your life. That's what everyone needs. That's what Jesus said to this woman. She was grieving. Do you believe this for you? And he offers that chance to everyone over and over for us to grow in our belief. And we pray together. Lord, thank you. You offer us the chance to trust in you fully, to trust in you. You will save us. You are our parachute. You are the one who will never fail us. Thank you for coming to life. Thank you for coming back. Thank you that you weren't in the grave. It could not hold you because you are life itself. Amen.